Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. It is already March 28, 2015, and I'm very grateful to be with you as we take a look at three questions about spiritual practice. And this is really a wonderful thing because I enjoy hearing people interpret me a little bit here and there, have questions, and hopefully I'm able to help them in some way about these questions that they have regarding spiritual practice, what it means, the whole kit and caboodle. So I'm very, very grateful for this kind of thing. I want to remind you that it is only our loving sponsors that make all this possible. Without their gifts, their kindness, these radio programs would not be on the air. You wouldn't be able to see the Aspire TV programs as you do on the website at aspire.org. There's many things that would not be enacted, and it is only through their loving kindness that this happens, and I want to acknowledge it. I want you to know my sponsors, and I hope some of you listening to this radio program will become sponsors to help us sustain and keep our radio program, our Aspire website, and everything we do afloat. It's a very important thing, and you're listening to it because of the generosity of others. It's a moving and touching thing for me. It really is. Well, let's get to the first question. What is an authentic spiritual practice, as you put it? Can our life sustain it? Rich from San Diego. Can your life sustain it? I think if I were to define it, which I am going to for you here in just a moment, then you can decide whether or not your life can sustain it. The answer is in your question. Here's the bottom line. An authentic spiritual practice is for me to be as passive towards my selfishness as I can be. In fact, more than I can be. To mature, develop beyond the idea of the ludicrousy of my selfishness. The reason a spiritual practice is difficult, an authentic one, is because it invites selflessness, not selfishness. To be selfless, to go beyond the self, to live beyond the means of the self and its need for survival and its need for greed and its need for fear, we have to go beyond it. To me, defining an authentic spiritual practice takes on many different forms. One of those forms is the first one, can I be selfless? It is a part of selflessness that really gets people. And you have to make a lifestyle out of it. Now, that answers your question. To what degree are you, Rich, deeply interested in becoming selfless? Now, if you're a low self-esteemer, like most human beings on this planet, then, in fact, I would say most of us, then you're going to be only doing those things and thinking those things and working on those things that esteem you, that give you some sense of notoriety in your life, in your world. You want people to acknowledge you. You want people to thank you. You want people to respect you. You want this, you want that. And so all of this goes on and on and on in people, what they want, what they need, what they desire. And they miss the point. They miss the meaning of life. They miss the whole thing because they're only seeking to appeal to their low self-esteem. And if I do that, Rich, which most of us do, then an authentic spiritual practice is out the window. Because in this practice, you have to be, as Jesus said in his beautiful Beatitudes, poor in spirit. The very first Beatitude, poor in spirit. That means not degrading you, not the degradation of our spirit, but the enhancement through being selfless. I'm paraphrasing it. Blessed is the person who does not need to aggrandize their low self-esteem, compensate for it. For theirs is the kingdom, theirs is that which lives within, that is beyond the proportions of self-righteousness that we like to be in, to bring about love and kindness. There is a great beauty in selflessness. We get to find out who we truly are. Based in the camaraderie of our selfishness, we live an artificial life, a life of, well, personal fear and hate and anger and anguish, and we miss the whole thing. We miss what living is all about. So when we come to that, a place where love can bloom, can blossom in us, where love can have its way in our heart, we find that being a selfish, which is Greg's personality, Greg's vanity, Greg's pride, his hubris, is no longer the number one thing in his life. He's no longer trying to prop that up, as it were, and continue his life in some angry fashion. We miss the point of our life. We really do. We miss the point of our living. It is about being in love. It is about being so in love and so beautiful. And that's a lifestyle. Beauty is a lifestyle as fear is a lifestyle. Look at your life, Rich. I don't know you. I've never met you, so I am going to throw out some things here that may stick or may help you. But really look at your life and see, is it not revolving around the whole idea of avoiding what you're afraid of? Avoiding hurt, avoiding discomfort, avoiding inconvenience? You say, well, that's not fear. Yes, it is. When I get hassled by inconvenience, my anger comes up. My anger is based in my fears. So it just keeps going and going and going, and on it goes. To Nusium, where I just live merely and severely for the sake of avoiding what it is that pisses me off. That's hate. That's anger. So, what is an authentic spiritual practice? It is to practice constantly selflessness. Now, to the degree that you can do this, to the degree that you understand what it means to be selfless, is a very interesting thing. Because a lot of people are very cynical about it. Our whole hubris about our life is based in the cynicism of our culture and our society that doubts everything, that doesn't give them what they want. Most people don't do anything in order to sustain a spiritual practice unless it were or is to give them some notoriety, some kind of attention, some kind of specialness that we want. We want to compensate for the emotional nature that we came into. Our bodies are nothing but emotional bodies. And they contain at the cellular level all sorts of information about this life and many prior. Whether you believe that or not doesn't matter. It's all there. And how you and I choose to live in this body, whether through fear or hate or beauty and love, is up to us. I say, live in the love that allows you to extinguish hate and fear. Your lifestyle must be that of acceptance of everything that comes to you. Not rejecting whatever it is that you think is bad for the sake of something that you think is good. This is a very difficult thing for most of us to get involved in. We don't want to be involved in that. We want to keep ourselves distracted. Distracted from the idea of what we're doing to ourselves. And in living in that way, we miss the whole experience that is love. I can't change you. I can only point my finger at what is happening here. We have a saying in Zen, Rich, don't bite my finger, look where I'm pointing. To get into an authentic spiritual practice, you can't be easily insulted. Insult has no place in a spiritual practice. To be insulted means that you have confronted the lowest part of yourself. And why be insulted? Why not look at it and deal with it? It's an emotionality, and it isn't helping you, and it isn't going to heal you, and it isn't going to change you. Most people succumb to it. And then they pretend like it doesn't exist. And this is why many, quote unquote, New Age teachers are so popular, because they teach you, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. Just pretend like it doesn't. It does exist in us, and we have to deal with it. And it won't go away because I say it doesn't exist in me. It does. So there you are, Rich. An authentic spiritual practice isn't for everyone. Believe me, it isn't. A lot of people are called to it, but very few can do it. Very few can really get involved in it. They're just so frightened that their fear might be taken away from them. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. God, how many people have come to me over the 40-some years that I've been a teacher? Really, how many? And said, oh, I don't want to be this way anymore. I want this. I don't want that. And when the rubber met the road, as it were, in the practice, they just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. Humanity. Next question comes from Ernest. You don't hear many people named Ernest. I like that name. He doesn't tell me where he listens to us from. Why, if a practice is authentic, is it not natural? A natural endeavor. Ernest. Well, Ernest, it's not natural because it is not about fear. Fear is natural in human beings. We live in fear. We live as fear. We live for fear. We are entertained by it. We sing about it. We work in it. We play in it. Fear is everything to us. Without fear, what would there be? There'd only be beauty. There'd only be love. And we're not much interested in beauty and love. We're interested in anything that frightens us. If you want to get a person's attention, get them to do maybe something very simple. Maybe give, be a part of something that is kind. You have to threaten them. You have to put the fear in them. This could happen to you. This is why you help. This could happen to you. And how would you feel? That kind of thing. And boy, that just emulates through a person. You put the fear of something they don't want in them, and then you get them motivated. But in an authentic spiritual practice, Ernest, we don't practice because we're going to avoid something we fear or get something we want. To be an authentic spiritual practice, it must be apparent to me inside that there's more to this life than just eating, drinking, and being merry. That there is more to life than just getting through or having what I want or doing what I want to be doing. Much more. Energy is everything. And I can't change my energy when I am, so to speak, inducted in the hall of fame of fear and hate. Energy is everything. Energy is life. Energy is love. Energy is everything. So, In an authentic spiritual practice, what we are doing is not natural to our inherent human self. And if you want to do things that are natural to your human self, it would be about being afraid and living in fear all the time, trying to avoid it and doing cruel things to avoid it and living to get what you want. And that's all there would be to it. It wouldn't be much else. And that's the way most of us live. We don't know it. A lot of people don't know it. They think they're being really loving. Well, I did my part in this world. No, you didn't. Well, I did my part to make that happen. No, you didn't. Did you give everything? I once went to my master years ago, and I said, I'm stuck. I can't seem to get over this. I can't seem to get over that. It was fear. It was all about fear. Fear of what my future would be, fear of what my past had been, maybe fear of what I wanted wasn't in the karmic cards for me. I don't remember exactly what the fear was. But he looked at me, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. He just looked into my eyes really deep. And he said, live your heart, not your mind. Live your heart, not your mind. An authentic spiritual practice is about coming home to the heart, Ernest. It isn't about living the mind, what it wants, what it believes in, what it fears, and all that other stuff. It isn't about that at all. It is about coming to that sacred place, that place of kindness, that place of compassion, where we are living beyond the beyond, and we are not living for the sake of getting what we want or believing in what we have will save us, and thinking that what is important is what I can touch with my skin. It's about being moved by the heart and living via the heart. Now, when I say the heart, please understand, I am not talking about our emotionality. I'm not talking about being all emotional. I am talking about living from the heart, the very space of compassion, love, the things that are deeply important, an unconscionable generosity. That's what I'm talking about. And that's not the way most of us live. We live in a kind of a conscionable, superseded, egotistical kind of desire. Superseded, meaning that I supersede my heart, my soul, with fear and anger. And I put selfishness, me, ahead of everything. This year, our theme in Pala Karma is first you, then me. My students are just suffering, just grievously. Because they don't like that. They don't like that whole insight of first you, then me. They think, I have to be first. I have to take care of me first. Really? First you, then me. What does that mean? It means putting ahead of myself all those things that would allow me to love. To be selfless, to see the selfishness of Gregory, and to no longer go there, to act in accordance with compassion and love, to act in accordance with what would allow me to forgive. I've been a teacher and kind of an advisor for many, many years to people's lives. And I've never been able to truly help the people I've wanted to help because they were too selfish to be helpful. And helped. And one of the things I'm going to tell you right off the bat, Ernest, is if you put anything into this life, put forgiveness above everything. Total forgiveness. Because if you don't, If you can't forgive yourself, if you can't forgive what you have done, you will never forgive others, and you will miss this whole thing called your life. Make forgiveness first. Then many things can change. Ernest, I hope that helped you in some way. I really do. Your question was very earnest, and I appreciate it. I know. I can't help it. I'm a punter. Please forgive me. Namaste. Ivete, I want to make kind of, I just do this stuff. I just love it. Last question comes from Lawrence. And he lives in Colorado, and he listens to us via the internet. What is in our way in order to awaken? I don't get it. Help me, really. Lawrence. I have answered this question so many times, and I'm always looking for fresh new ways to try to answer it. It's difficult. Zen master is walking with his student. The student asks the same question, why is the spiritual path so arduous, so difficult? And the master says, because it must go through you. You make the practice something difficult because you want it to be appealing to your senses, to your logic, and to your reasoning. A spiritual practice is the opposite of all of that. It is not appealing. It is not cohesive to your logic and reasoning. It is not sensible to your sensibilities. So when you get involved in an authentic spiritual practice, you're in no man's land. You're in the opposite village. You're in an opposite way. You are living in opposition to your humanity, to your beliefs, to your impulses. That's why it's difficult. And if you have no sense of, shall we say, inner discipline, then you're going to find it even more difficult. So you're going to make this arduous. You're going to make this ugly. And most people do. They don't realize they're doing it, but they do it. And when I make my practice arduous, and when I make it difficult, and when I make it ugly, it just doesn't make sense. And of course, obviously, I'm going to quit. And you will quit also. You see, we always seem to appeal to our lowest sense of self, our lowest vibe. We don't really grow, mature. We don't see the need for it because if we're comfortable and we're getting everything we want, why would we rock the boat? And if we're not comfortable in getting what we want, we have a plan for how to do it. Or we've succumbed to everything and just said, I guess I'm just a loser. And it wasn't in the cards for me and all these other things. Or we try to find, yeah, I like this one, you know, the Norman Vincent Peale thing where, well, yes. Yes, this is what I want to do. This is what I believe in. This is a lemonade out of lemons and that kind of thing. It's silly. Go for love. Go for life. Do the things that make love possible. Do the things that make love beautiful. Do the things that make everything what it is. Compassionate. Giving and forgiving. Let love live you. And stand aside from everything that gets in your way. What is in our way to awaken? Our hubris, our vanity, our anger, our fear. And most of that is what goes on in our life. Most of that is how we live and how we continue to live. And how we never look back and say to ourselves, well, maybe there is another way. And there is. So, Lawrence, don't get caught up in the minutiae of your desires, ambition, pride, and what you think life should be and what you think life shouldn't be. Go for the love that lives within you. And please forgive me. Namaste. Great question. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be able to offer to you, please come to this website at aspire.org. At the top of the page, you will see contact. I hope that you will contact me and send me an email. And if you're not on our sponsor list, etc., I'll send you an MP3 of it, and you can listen to it on your own. How's that? My gift to you. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Please forgive everything, hey? Namaste.